Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. And in this passage, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with Jesus speaking with his disciples. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Jesus took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious, holy, and eternal God, we are grateful for your presence among us. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit who moves among us and helps us to hear what you have to say to us. Spirit, once again, we ask that you would come and pour yourself out on us, and that once again, you would take the words of the Scripture, the humble words that I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, inspire them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So as I said, this morning in this piece of Matthew 16, we pick up where we left off last week. Last week, Jesus had asked the disciples, as they were in the shadow of the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked them, "So who do people say the Son of Man is?" Then he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gave the right answer. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. You are the Son of the Living God." And from there, Jesus begins to explain just what exactly that means. What does it mean that Jesus is the Messiah? What does it mean that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, what it means is that he's going to go to Jerusalem. It means that he's going to be handed over by the religious leaders of the day. He's going to be crucified. And on the third day, raised again. This is what it means for Jesus to be the Christ. And what it means for us, as those who would follow him, is that we get to go where Jesus went. We get to pattern our lives after Jesus' life. Jesus talked about that as take up your cross and follow me. Pledge your whole life to following me. Surrender everything that you have to follow me. This is one of the most frightening and the most exhilarating charges that we have in the scripture. Take up your cross and follow me. We know some of where the cross took Jesus. And there's no way to talk about that without talking about the bitter suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's no way to talk about that without talking about the bitter suffering of the cross. There's no way to talk about that without talking about giving up our lives. There's no way to talk about that without reminding ourselves that Jesus gave up his life. But when Jesus was explaining to the disciples what it meant to for him to be the Messiah, he didn't just say that he was going to Jerusalem and that he would suffer at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. He said that in 3 days he would be raised again. Jerusalem, the cross, is a frightening thing. The promise of resurrection is exhilarating. This being the fifth Sunday of the month, is our My Story Sunday. And so I thought it might be helpful or useful to share a little bit of my story. I'll warn you now, it comes in two parts, and the second part isn't going to be here. So if you want the rest of it, I would invite you to check out the online service, check out the podcasts, so that you can get part two. I grew up in the church. I can't remember a time when God wasn't important in my life. My dad was a pastor. After I graduated from high school, my mom began the formal journey of becoming a local pastor. Some might say I was doomed. But in many ways, it's a blessing that I can't express. I'm so grateful for my parents' faith, for their intention to share it with myself, with my brother, with my two sisters. And my story is kind of familiar, I guess. Grew up in the church, in Sunday school, sang in the choir, went to youth group. Went to summer church camp. And it was at church camp, Highland Park in Sellersville, PA, that I gave my life to Jesus. It was there that I began the journey of understanding what it means to follow Christ. And it was there at the altar rail in the chapel, in the tabernacle at Highland, where I began the journey of living out my faith. Because it was at that moment that it began to be my faith. Before that had been my parents, and that was important. But not nearly as important as when it began to become my faith. Now, I keep saying begin to become, because, well, for one thing, I didn't know what I didn't know. And maybe even as I stand before you now, I would still, in honesty, say, I don't know what I don't know. There is so much more for God to show me, for God to teach me. But in that moment, I made that leap. The Spirit brought me to that place where Jesus didn't die for us. Jesus died for me. And as rich as the scripture is about explaining to us what that for me means, that it means instead of, that it means for my behalf. And if we look at the biblical images about Jesus being the sacrifice, as we look at the biblical images about Jesus being the Passover lamb, as we look at the richness of what the scripture says about what exactly for us means, I begin to understand that. And that not only did Jesus die for us, Jesus died for me. And not only was Jesus raised for us, Jesus was raised for me. The resurrection not only says that God validates everything about Jesus' life and teaching. Not only is the resurrection God's absolutely amen to Jesus' life and death in raising him to new life, the resurrection is our hope for new life in this life and in the life to come. Now, it wasn't that I decided, but that I decided to respond to what God was doing. For most of you here, you have a similar story. Maybe you can remember the time. Maybe you can remember where you were. Maybe you can remember that moment when Jesus became your Savior, when Jesus became your Lord. Maybe what you remember is that moment when you realized it had already occurred. The how of how the Spirit brings us to that is not nearly important, is that the Spirit brings us to that point where our faith becomes not our parents, not our grandparents, not our Sunday school teachers, not our friends, not our pastors, but when it becomes mine. Now, does that mean that once you come to that moment where you realize that Jesus died for me, along with everybody else, that the hope of resurrection is for me and everybody else? Once we come to that moment, it doesn't mean that we don't ever make a mistake again. See part two. But it means that we need not fear, because we are God's and God is ours. And so I'd like to close with a prayer. This is a prayer that I pray daily. I'm sure you will find it familiar, and I'll invite you to pray it with me. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside by you, made famous and powerful for you or brought low by you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Grace to you and peace. Amen.